You know, in a church, we work, and we don't have very many ways of measuring the success of our work. But one of those ways that a church can see that it has accomplished its purpose is when it sends one of its own into ministry. Because what it says is that someone who has been nurtured by this community says, "This is what I want to do for a group of people, what has been done for me. I want to speak a saving word, that kind of word that will save other people's lives the way my life has been saved." In early December, when we had our church conference, we voted to affirm Joshua Suleiman's gifts for ministry. Joshua is a student at PSR. You have known him for a long time. You have loved him. You have nurtured him into a calling into ministry. And he follows that calling with the kind of skill and graciousness that we love about Joshua. And so this morning it is our gift, our privilege, to hear Joshua preach to his own congregation. Welcome, Joshua, to this pulpit.
Thank you very much, Kathy. It's something that I really appreciate the pastoral committee of this church and all of you that voted in the Art Council that you are there to support me. And I know there's a lot of people who have been talking to me that they are willing to support me. Your prayers will be welcome and your support will be welcome on this journey. And I thank you very much for giving me the chance to serve you. Let us pray. Living God, help us to hear your holy word that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do through Christ our Lord. Amen. A young man in college was reading the Bible when the liberal professor walked by. "Wow," the young man said. The professor was amazed and he said, he asked the young man what he was reading. The young man said that God had parted the Red Sea and allowed the Hebrew people to cross. The professor started to explain how at that time in history there was a big drought and really the sea was only about 3 inches deep. So it was not really a miracle. "Oh," said the young man again as he went back to his reading. And he said again, "Wow," more excited than before. Then the professor asks, "What is it now, young man?" To which the young man replied, "God just drowned all the whole Egyptian army in 3 inches of water." The professor said, "That's a miracle." Last Thursday marks the 6-year anniversary that the whole world was calling the miracle on the Hudson River. If you can remember, the pilot was able to land the plane on the water and they call it the headlines in CNN, NBC, CNBC. They call it the miracle on the Hudson River. When we call it the flight 1549 crash landed on the river with no fatalities. On that day, we saw all these television people, and then you saw the people standing on the wings. Today, it is called the miracle on the Hudson River. Benny Siegel, in her bestseller, Love, Medicine, and Miracles, defined miracles as something for which there's no explanation. If I can take a survey this morning from all of you for a miracle story in your life, all of you will have it, one way or the other. Sometimes we confuse miracle and a blessing in our lives. I will look at miracles as the supernatural intervention of God and a blessing of God's power that flow through the natural channels. I consider a blessing better than a miracle. If you live your life of a miracle from one another, you are living your life with crises, from one crisis to another crisis. The gospel account of the miracle at Cana is really astonishing in its simplicity. I never lose its richness as it came that it came with it. There was a marriage in Cana, in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the marriage with his disciples. When they ran out of wine, Jesus' mother came to him. They have no wine. Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with me? My hour has not come." His mother did not say anything. She just went to the servants and said, "Do whatever he tells you to do." Wow. What a mother. You really trust your son. "My hour has not come." But she said, "Do whatever he tells you to do." It's good to have a mother that has a confidence in the son. There were six jars standing there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus told them to fill the jars with water, and they did. He said to them, "Draw some out and take it to the steward of the feast." So they took to them. When the steward of the feast tasted the water now become wine, and did not know where it came from, the steward of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man serves the good wine first. And when the guests were drunk, they now brought the good wine. This, the first of the signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory." And he decided